comments on the internet is that most internet trolls are children who are aged between 7 and, let's say, 16. We get all up in a roar about how people are racist. 7 to 16-year-olds are not people. They are fucking animals. You ever go to a playground, you watch kids behave amongst themselves in their natural habitat, I promise you, you will not have anything nice to say about them. No matter who you are, you could be a Republican, quote-unquote racist, you will still think that children of that age group are the worst. So, when you see a comment, right, from Snarky Dude 07, probably because they're born in 2007, and they say something like, "Fuck you, pussy, I hate you." Don't take that the wrong way. They're just stupid children. Yeah. Did you ever notice that comedians love to talk about sign language? It's a thing that I noticed. Jim Jefferies, Aziz Ansari, Donald Glover, they've all done a bit on how they did a show and there was a sign language interpreter at the front doing comedy. Why is it okay to make fun of deaf people? It's like the one minority that it's okay to make fun of. I feel like it's because they're not super vocal about their perspective through things they can't control, but that's what it comes down to, right? If you had people up in an uproar, and that all requires you to speak, and deaf people don't retaliate, apparently. At least they don't do it in a way that people care about. Shit, I have to just answer my own question of why I do it. Never mind. Circumcision. Interesting one. So, it is something. I'm not circumcised. I was born in a Catholic family, thankfully, so my anatomy is relatively intact. If you were not circumcised yourself, and someone told you you should chop off the foreskin of your child, your male child, you'd be like, fuck you, why the fuck would I do that? You wouldn't do it unless it was institutionalized. It was something that happened to you, you pass on the trauma to your kid. Same thing as like baptizing your child if you're Catholic. You're supposed to do that, apparently. Why? Because it happened to you. Fortunately, it's not as traumatic, but it is a form of inclusion, let's say. It's a form of initiation with that child. We both went through the same thing. Pouring water over someone's head is much more benign, I guess, than chopping off their foreskin. But yeah, circumcision. Weird thing. Weird thing. Depression and success in artistry. So, most artists that you think of as being the best, Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, he didn't kill himself, but he died. They mostly die before they can maybe do most of what could have been their best work. Kurt Cobain, all these guys, they killed themselves at some point. Weird, but it kind of makes sense because the longer you live, the more likely you are to not be angry towards the world. It's like a thing, a decision you got to make, a game time decision. When you get to like your late 20s, you're like, I'm either going to be angry for the rest of my life or I'm going to kill myself. And most artists that are known to be the best do that because when they make that decision not to kill themselves, they generally get more boring. Yep. What I found is that I can't really do stand-up very well because my whole thing with conversation and the reason why I am interesting in any way is that I can ask good questions. Asking good questions requires that somebody gives you an answer. It doesn't matter what the answer is, but it's an answer that you then work off of. So I work very well in one-on-ones, in small groups, but I can't ask a question that gets a response. Well, what am I doing here? Because that's really my strength. Perspective. So one thing that I've gotten to be really good at is understanding perspective. I can put myself in other people's shoes. And I think that everyone should do this. It's a really good exercise. It's an exercise that allows you to stop being racist, stop being sexist, stop being anything-ist that involves things that people can't control. You can't control whether you're born a man or a woman. You can't control the color of your skin when you're born. There's only a handful of factors that you can't control. Your height, maybe, your weight propensity, maybe. You can't control your athleticism, you know, your intellect. There's a bunch of things you can't control. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things that you can control. One of the things that falls in that category that is probably an unpopular belief of mine is your creed. You know, people always say race, gender, or creed. Those are not all the same. Okay, you can't control your race, you can't control your gender, but you can control your creed. Just because you're born Catholic doesn't mean you have to be. Now, I know that other religions see it differently, right? I'm looking at Judaism and Islam specifically. They're very much like, you're born this way, this is what you are. And it's really much harder to shake that than any form of Christianity because it's quite watered down by comparison. So, perspective, when it comes down to that, I try to think of my think in the other person's perspective, but I'm still limited by what I would think, right? So if I was born Jewish or I was born Muslim, I would still, I think, have a hard time swallowing a lot of the clear untruths. And that's not just Islam or Judaism. It's really any religion. It asks you to believe things that are clearly untrue. But you know what? I probably believe things that are clearly untrue. The difference is that I choose to believe them because I chose to. No one told me to. Other than maybe like advertisers, because advertisers are probably like the next version of cult. It's like you can be advertised to and subliminally believe something, not even realizing that you are. I think a lot of religious people are in that same category. It's like they've been advertised to very effectively from a young age. Now, I think if you remember being a kid, and I remember watching TV and thinking, how come we don't ever see ads for cereal anymore? Like, are all cereal brands just doing really well that they don't need to advertise anymore? Then I realized, oh, it's because I don't watch children's TV channels. Because I tuned into one of those channels and they still do that shit. They just realized, you know who buys cereal? I know it's adults, but kids make their parents buy certain cereals. They figure that out, right? Cereal advertisers is like, Shreddies taste like shit. We can't make it taste better, but what we can do is advertise to children on their Saturday morning cartoons and force their parents to buy that shit. I don't know if Shreddy still advertises, to be honest. I wonder if they do. I want to watch cartoons on Saturday mornings just to find out if Shreddy still advertises. I feel like that'd be an interesting thing to know. Or Pop-Tarts. Or Pizza Pops. A lot of pops, really, but we used to buy that stuff. That stuff still exists. Ravioli by who's that guy? The Chef Boyardee. Yeah, I remember commercials for that stuff. Do they just have such great brand awareness they don't need to advertise anymore? Or are we just watching the wrong channels? What are they going to do now that, like, my daughter doesn't watch TV. We don't have cable. She watches Netflix. She watches Dora and Max and Ruby and all these shows that are from like 10 years ago, but on Netflix, and she watches them. There's no commercials on that shit. What are they going to do when they're like, oh shit, there's an entire generation of kids who don't give a shit about Chef Boyardee or Pop-Tarts? How are they going to survive? They're going to advertise on Facebook, be like, buy Chef Boyardee when you go to the grocery store. How do you do that? How do you advertise on social media for Chef Boyardee? Other than, you know, brand. Like, when everyone in your age group isn't being fed the same message, then it doesn't work. Because you go, when we were kids, we watch like a Chef Boyardee ad and be like, oh, look, yeah, when I grow up, kids everywhere will think of me. That was like an ad, right? When Chef Boyardee was a kid and like he decided to make this. And like it was really appealing to kids, be like, oh, he made food for kids. And then we all talked about it in school and we're like, we should eat some Chef Boyardee. What are kids talking about now? How like Dora the Explorer had this great episode on how to count in Spanish. Yeah, exactly. Taco Bell. I was at Taco Bell today because I have not had Taco Bell in a long time. It's hard to find it, really. I'm in Canada. You don't get Taco Bell everywhere. And I remember a couple weeks ago at work, we were deciding what to get for lunch, and some of the technicians that we work with are like, oh, let's get Taco Bell. And I'm like, I'm down. I'm always down for Taco Bell. I never get that shit. My wife hates it. I never get to eat Taco Bell. I will always say yes when someone suggests it. My boss is like, why would we eat that shit? I'm like, oh, dude, I love hard tacos. And one of my coworkers is like, you realize that people from Mexico wouldn't even know what a hard taco was if you asked them what that was? And I'm like, cool. Well, people from Mexico probably also don't know how to perform surgery on me, but it's not a requisite for them to perform surgery on me, right? It's like, I don't go to Taco Bell to have authentic Mexican cuisine, same way that I don't go to a hospital to get authentic Mexican surgery. I get it. Taco Bell is not actually Mexican. It's an American food chain. American food chains are amazing at that. They just basically take something that should be ethnic food, and then they make it super American. They add HA sauce. Do you know what that is? Yeah, HA sauce. It's heart attack sauce. They take something that is like the food that gives sustenance to a culture, and then they make it give you a heart attack so it tastes delicious. Now, us Canadians, we figured it out. You can eat that shit, but in moderation. Like, just don't eat too much of it, or else you'll have a heart attack, as the sauce implies. But Americans, the reason why there's this obesity problem is just like, shit, that tastes good. Let's just keep eating it all the time. It's a dollar. Let's keep eating it. I think that's the fundamental difference between Canadians and Americans, is restraint. I don't know why, but I was at work and I was looking up the lowest and highest suicide rates by country. This was fascinating to me. So, first of all, the statistic is stupid because the way they quantify it is number of people per 100,000, okay? Now, the lowest on there is like 2.5, and it's, I'm going to say it was like place in the Caribbean, because obviously their lives are amazing. They have great weather and the people are pretty cool. But then, you know, the highest on that list is something like 50 per 100,000. Yeah, granted, that's like 25 times higher than the lowest, but it's not that many people per 100,000. I think that of its own would be like, oh, wow, we're pretty good as a society if the worst suicide rate is 50 out of 100,000. Well, actually, the opposite is true, okay? So places where they have high suicide rates are places that are generally first world countries, where they have first world problems, and those are way harder than third world problems. I'll tell you why. So there's the Caribbean islands near the bottom of the list of the lowest suicide rates, and then there's like Syria, Guatemala, Pakistan, Iraq, Lebanon, places where a lot of people die through the regular course of their day, way more than they do, you know, in Canada or the United States. They have super low suicide rates because you're like trying not to die the whole time. You can't be bothered to take your own life, because that would be like, I'm just going to make it easy for these people trying to kill me. Yeah, it's a hard thing to laugh at, but it makes you realize that first world problems are a real thing. Yeah, in the first world, people are killing themselves because they literally have nothing else to complain about. You know that movie The Hunger Games? I feel like that would make a lot of sense. I feel like the best way to lower suicide rates is to require people to have to fight for their survival. Literally, fight to the death so that they don't die. and then they will never really think that suicide is a thing. I actually never read The Hunger Games. I kind of watched them peripherally. I didn't really understand the premise of it, but just talking about this now, it makes perfect sense. So they lived in this controlled society where there was a lot of injustice and inequality, and a lot of wealth in one spot and a lot of poverty on the other side. This Hunger Games thing is a brilliant idea to make it so that people don't kill themselves, because they're like, shit, we got to fight to survive, actually. So we won't kill ourselves. We'll just keep living and struggling. So another thing I thought about was anecdotal honesty regarding racism. So when it comes to racism, obviously that takes on a lot of connotations. I think that racism is wrong because you're discriminating against someone for something they can't control. The same way I think that sexism is wrong. I mean, obviously there's only two sexes for the most part. But what I think is still a thing, and we should not shy away from it, is culturalism, is what I'll call it. Where you can't choose whether you're born black, white, brown, Chinese, orange, whatever. I know I threw Chinese in there, which is not a color. But try calling Chinese people by a color that you would associate with. Right. You see? How is it cool that we can call people black, brown, or white? But then, yeah, you tell me what color you would call Chinese people and see how well that flies. Weird, right? When it comes to colors in association with physical appearance. Yeah. We should maybe all stop calling people by colors, or everyone decides that it's okay to call people by colors based on I don't know what, actually. I think I can look at my skin and be like, yep, it's definitely brown. But so are black people's skin, so are people from South America, so are people from the south of Europe. They all kind of have brown skin. But mine is browner than theirs, so I'm okay with being called brown. Spanish people, if you start calling yourselves brown, Brazilians, you start calling yourselves brown, I would not be cool with that. I like being called brown. because it's descriptive. It's a real thing. Let me tell you a story. So I used to be the lead singer in a band, and I was the only person who was not white in this band. And I was a lead singer. And obviously, I've had friends tell me, it's like, ah, oh, that's interesting. You know, it'll be a really hard struggle for the rest of your band if you try to make it as a band and you're a brown lead singer. I'm like, ah, that's bullshit. People don't see it that way. And we were at this bar after one of our band practices. We were playing foosball, and we met up with these random people that were there playing foosball with us. And these two girls were there, and they're like, oh, how do you guys all know each other? And we're like, oh, we're in a band together. And they're like, oh, what do you guys all play? And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm the drummer, I'm the bassist. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I play guitar, and I'm the lead singer. And the girl's like, that's so weird. And we're all like, well, why? It's like, it's because you're brown. And we all looked at each other like she just was a Nazi all of a sudden. I didn't say anything, but the other two guys were like, wait, what the fuck? Why is that a thing that's okay to say? Now, at the time, I remember thinking, yeah, that is dumb. And yeah, she was probably not the smartest person, but why is that wrong for her to say that? Because it is unusual, and it's okay for her to point that out. It was a little awkward for all of us, because we're like, actually for the other guys more than me, because they probably looked at me like, oh shit, he is brown. And maybe they forgot that I was for a while, because I don't really talk like that or act like that for the most part. But it was a moment in my life that I reflect back on, like, initially, right when I was 26 years old, thinking, oh, this girl's stupid because she judged me for the color of my skin before anything else. But for someone who doesn't know me, what else are they going to judge me on? They're going to judge me on my appearance, right? Obviously, I can't change the fact that I'm brown. And that's not even a judgment. That's just a statement of fact. It's like, oh, it's unusual to have a lead singer who is brown. Who, you know, especially because there's a lot of bands, not a lot, but in Canada more than the United States, but there are bands that have brown or whatever ethnic members. They're just usually not the lead singer. So actually that was kind of the beginning of the end for the band for me, because I was like, oh shit, you know what, she's right. Like, she went and said it. I'm really up against it if I'm trying to do this. It's not the smartest move for me to do. Yep. So those are all the different things that I thought of to talk about. Thank you for listening.